مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome to the mid-morning show with myself, Brother Suleiman Issub, every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 18th of Shawwal 1446, corresponding to the 17th of April 2025. It's a beautiful Thursday morning and I'm going to be keeping you company from now until 11 a.m. You know, when we precede the night of Jumu'ah and the day of Yom Jumu'ah, it's always a different feeling compared to any other day. Being a Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday, it's always such a beautiful feeling and you can feel the essence and the presence of the day of Jumu'ah. It just hits very differently when we approach the day of Thursday or Jumu'ah and you start feeling spiritually motivated and you can feel that, you know what, you are becoming more inclined to Almighty Allah. And you know, when we start becoming more inclined to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our lives become so much better. Allah ta'ala, you know, I seen somewhere or a quote that said that if you fix your problem or you fix your relationship with Almighty Allah, Allah ta'ala will, if you sort out your relationship in private with Almighty Allah, Allah ta'ala will sort out all your affairs in public, be it whatever the case may be, whatever you're going through. And you know, it's proven, and you hear people saying that, you know what, things weren't coming right for me. Everything I tried to do didn't seem to work out. But the best advice that I can give you, they're telling me that the best advice that I can give you is fix your relationship with Almighty Allah. If you're not reading the Quran, start the page on ayat by ayat, page by page. You know, if you've got time, then read the tasbih, read istighfar. Istighfar is so powerful. We don't understand how powerful the tasbih of istighfar. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. Various tasbihat that you can read or dhikr that you can read. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. Verily, the remembrance of Almighty Allah brings contentment and peace to the heart. And look at it, if we turn to Almighty Allah, because how can we go out searching for our risk when we don't start our day with the one who provides the risk, Ar-Razzaq? How can we not go out looking or remembering the one who is the provider, the sustainer, the nourisher? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide for the ant, the smallest of creatures, and provide for that little creature his provision for the day, then who are we? Allah Ta'ala sees, Allah is Al-Basir and As-Sami. Allah Ta'ala is all seen and all hearing. So Allah Ta'ala will hear everything, even what's in your heart. Allah Ta'ala knows that my banda, before he even raises his hand and asks, Allah Ta'ala already knows what we want. But inshallah, we're going to have a throw forward with Brother Alphas in Kosi. Brother Alphas, good morning. It's nice to have you back on air with us.
Good morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, man.
Good, man. It's nice to have you back on air with us. We missed you yesterday.
No, man. Yeah, you know, it is what it is, man. It's that time of the year whereby, you know, a lot of things gets to happen on a person's body.
No, definitely. What's the latest happening in and around South Africa and the world?
Today, we do have a day, well, fully jam-packed show. But in our opening, we look at why Turkey's democratic future matters for the world. As we know that there's been protests in Turkey, and then you're looking at its economy crumbling, and they're working toward their elections. I mean, it's a struggling Europe and Asia, and obviously anchoring both the Black Sea and the Eastern Mediterranean now. When you look at Turkey, it sits at the crossroads of continents, cultures, and conflict zones as well. So we look at why Turkey's democratic future matters for the world. And then today we do have a new feature on Thursdays. We'll have a new feature at 12:30, whereby we feature different NGOs called Remembering the Good Works of Ramadan. This is just a throwback and just tracing the steps. How was Ramadan? How did the NGOs fare during Ramadan, especially those that do provide food for the needy, of course. So, yeah, we'll be looking at that feature at 12:30 this afternoon, and it's going to be to happen every Thursday, you know. And then lastly, on the last part of the show, we're going to look at the Institute of Race Relations. They've released a poll saying that the Democratic Alliance overtakes ANC as bread and butter concerns triples parties at the black support. So, yeah, we're going to speak to Herman Pretorius from IRR to come in and unpack with us this call as to what methodology have they been using to come up with these numbers that the DA overtakes the ANC. That's for the first time in their polling. The DA is at 30.3%, edging past the ANC's 29.7%. So, yeah, going to look at that, to whether perhaps maybe the ANC's proposal to raise VAT has contributed significantly to this shift. That remains to be seen. So, yeah, that's what we have on the show.
So, perfect, Brother Alphas. Thank you so much for sharing that insight with us. And we shall catch you a little bit later.
Thank you, Solis. Thanks, man.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.
And that was Brother Alphas Nkosi telling us or giving us an insight as to what's going to be happening later on in his show. You know, as I was saying, the power of istighfar, and you know, whenever we're in a problem or we're in a little bit of a difficulty, the first place that we should turn to is Almighty Allah. Turn to the Musalla, raise our hands. Allah Ta'ala loves those who pick their hands up and ask and beseech, because Allah Ta'ala loves when his servant asks, he says, Ya Allah, call out the beautiful names, the Asma'ul Husna. Call out Almighty Allah's names and beseech Allah Ta'ala's help. My beloved Marhum father always used to say, Allah can do with the means, without the means, against the means, beyond the means. There is no undare in the arsh and in Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala can provide for the ant. Allah Ta'ala can provide for you. Obviously, we have to ask for jais things that halal and tayyiban. We cannot be asking for things that goes against the very basic Islamic law, the Islamic Sharia. We can't be asking for, and you can ask for extravagant things. But obviously, it has to be something that is permissible. You can't be asking for things that go against the religion, the deen of Islam. So inshallah, we're going to be listening to Mufti Yusuf Mangera, and he's going to be explaining and unpacking the 12 benefits of istighfar. If you would like any of these lectures, you can send in your messages on the numbers 084-786-3132, international and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. If there's any way that we can change the show, or there's things that you would like us to mention on the show, then you can send it on those particular numbers. So this is the 12 benefits of istighfar by Mufti Abdul Rahman Ibn Yusuf Mangera.
Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. What we're going to be speaking about today, inshallah, is a really important concept. We're moving away from our other discussion. We're moving on to the discussion of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a really, really fundamental topic that each of us needs, because it's for the benefit of ourselves in this world and in the hereafter. It's a requirement for a good believer. The return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? The return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us put it this way. If I say something to Arif Bhai here that he is upset about, and I upset him somehow, I did something on, whether on purpose or otherwise, he's going to feel bad. Now for me to make him feel good again, I have to do a few things. When somebody upsets you and they expect you to forgive them, then there's a few things that they have to do. Firstly, if I go and seek forgiveness from him and say, please forgive me, Arif Bhai, but he can tell by my face and my demeanor, like, just forgive me, man. Just forgive me. Why are you making such a big deal out of it? Forgive me. You know. He's not going to forgive me in his heart, because my body language, my attitude is showing that I don't really mean it. So that's not going to get them anywhere. If somebody has transgressed against me and they seek forgiveness, but I know that they're going to do it again, then I'm going to find that difficult to forgive again, because they're going to do it again tomorrow. So if I feel that they're not remorseful, they're not regretting it, and if they have not decided never to do it again, he might even say, sometimes they even say, look, it might happen again. You just have to forgive me. That's what some people say. Right? So there's not going to be that much forgiveness. You're not going to feel like forgiving someone. Okay, there's another person now who's regretful, and he's never going to do it again. They realize their mistake, that I've done wrong. I should not have done this. But they're not willing to come and seek forgiveness. They're feeling like this internally, but they can't come and tell you, please forgive me, I've done wrong. They know they're wrong, they accept it, they don't want to do it again, but they're not willing to come and tell you that I've done wrong. Some people, I've dealt with such people, especially marital issues where the marriage eventually broke. There's few reasons why somebody might do this. One is because they're very arrogant and they don't want to seem that they have to stoop down in front of someone else. So they're not willing to come and, even though they know they're wrong, they'll confess in front of someone else, but not in front of you. Or number two, they're just narcissistic. They just don't know how to seek forgiveness. It's not within their vocabulary. Now that's, if somebody is like that, they need to get help, because that's a tough one. Now, in the same way, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we unfortunately commit sins, we do wrongs. That's why in the same way, for a sincere tawbah, this is what you call a tawbah. Tawbah in Arabic means return. It literally means return. Because the idea is that when we do something wrong, if I do something against Arif, I'm sorry, I'm using you as an example. Inshallah, I won't do anything against you. But if I do, that means I've distanced myself from him. If I mess around with my brother and I'm aggressive, or I say something bad, I'm going to distance myself. That's why the ruling we have is that don't break ties with anybody for more than 3 days. That they're meeting and this person is ignoring, because you've become distant. You may be living in the same house, but your hearts are distant. Right? They are at a distance. So that's why distance is a bad thing. That's why the concept of tawbah and repentance is return to Allah. Return to His mercy, return to His love, return to His closeness. That's the idea of tawbah. So now we better understand the concept of tawbah. That's different from istighfar. Istighfar is one aspect of tawbah. You know, I said, I must feel regretful that I should not have done this. I must promise never to do it again. I must vow never to do it again. That's just what I'm doing for myself. Then I have to go to the person and say, please forgive me. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me? That's istighfar, seeking forgiveness. After you have decided not to do it again and you're regretful. So istighfar is a component of tawbah. Tawbah is this whole process of the return. Now just think about it. Are we distant from Allah or are we close to Allah? Have we returned to Him? When the day we became believers, the day we were pure and became believers and were good believers, innocent children, we were close to Allah. The day we started doing sins, and we started making mistakes, we went afar. We make tawbah, we come back. Lots of people do tawbah during the month of Ramadan and they come back. That's why it's inevitable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy during this time. But He also says that there will be people in Ramadan every night that will be written to be freed from the hellfire. Because they have done tawbah and they've returned to Allah. They've returned to Allah. So, there are... The whole concept of tawbah to Allah is so intuitive. It is something we can relate when we talk to another person. So the next time that we do a sin against Allah, imagine that we have hurt somebody. And what will our responsibility be of trying to make up with that person and apologize? The same kind of thing happens with Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far easier to please than any human being. Far easier. There are so many cases, so many times when somebody upset you, they are genuinely remorseful. They are genuinely seeking an apology. Well, providing an apology, providing an excuse. They will never do it again. You can tell that they are very upset and they are very regretful. But I don't want to see you for a while. Okay, I forgive you. But you know what? It's going to take some time. And it does take some time sometimes. Unless you train yourself. Imams have to be trained to not be upset at anybody. That's where I learnt. Because there's always somebody saying something about you, whether rightly or wrongly. And if you're going to get upset by everything, then you're in big trouble. You're going to be in big depression. That's why imams, mashallah, they learn counseling on the job. You know? And if they don't, then they're in trouble. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Once I used to be part of this clergy association in Santa Barbara, California when I was there. So Christian priests, Jews, just for a short time would meet once a month or something like that. So there was a Jewish rabbi, and the reason he was a nice guy. And one day when he came, he was really upset. I said, "What happened?" He said, "They fired me. The synagogue fired him." And he was so parishan. He was so perturbed. He was really, and I think in our deen we have the concept of sabr, which really, really helps. That everything happens for a reason. Of course you get upset, you know. But Allah is the easiest person to return to. Allah says that so many times in the Quran. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly when He talks about people doing evil, you know, even when Allah condemns people and says, they're going to be in Jahannam and there's this and this is what's going to happen to the disbelievers and the Jahannam is going to be filled with these punishments. I don't think you will ever find a place in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Jahannam, punishment, evil and everything where He doesn't add at least, but Allah is forgiving or something like that. Always it's like that. Always is like that. There's always that balance. Allah always gives you a get out clause. Allah always, well, not get out, come back clause. That you're distance, you come back. There's no excuse. With some people, you know they're difficult to please. If you make mistakes, even by mistake, you're in trouble. For every small thing, they will take you to task. And then you apologize once, and they mashallah, make you really apologize, right? And then it happens again, and then you have to apologize again, and they make you apologize again. And then the third time you're like, man, it's difficult to get apology from that person. It's too complicated. That's why we should not be complicated when somebody wants to ask us for apology. We should not be complicated, because Allah is not complicated. Allah makes it very simple. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in many verses, you'll see this, Allah is forgiving, He is merciful, He is compassionate, He is loving. Allah is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servants who have transgressed against themselves. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Don't become hopeless in my mercy, in the mercy of Allah. Don't become hopeless. We can become hopeless of other people's mercy. He's not going to forgive this time. I've done it 3 times before. He's not going to forgive. He's going to fire me this time. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 70 times a day you could do that. Now we have to do that. Otherwise, we are distant from Allah. When a person is distant from Allah, rahmah is decreased. That's why the person who is accursed, you know, he says, curse be upon you, damn you. These words are in English. I know people use them just as a swear, but what it means is you're mal'oon. In Arabic, we have the term la'na. What does la'na mean? Al-bu'du an rahmatillah. To be distant from Allah's mercy. When a person becomes distant from Allah, distant from Allah's mercy, they don't enjoy life anymore. You may still have enjoyable pleasures in your life of having gadgets and other things, money and everything, but there will not be any heartfelt tranquility because there's no mercy. There's no mercy that's descending. Nothing is in mercy. It's all beyond the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why if you call somebody who's not a kafir, what you're essentially saying is that there's no mercy upon you. And if there is mercy on him, then you're lying. That's why it's so tough to call somebody a kafir just like that. That's why our Muslim ulama very, very seldomly would render somebody a kafir just like that. So it is in our best interest to go back to Allah because we benefit hugely from the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. Now, as you know, it's essential because if you're believers, then you'll value being close to Allah. Now, think of it this way. Sometimes there's a person that you transgress against, but you don't care for them. You don't consider them to be dignified or worth it, right? For whatever reason, you think you're bigger. I don't want to seek forgiveness. Why should I seek forgiveness? Even though you're wrong. Because you don't value that person. You have no respect for that person. That's why you don't seek forgiveness. Sometimes it's just negligence. It's not that you don't value them. Well, you don't value them actually. But it's not like you demean them or you're actively humiliating them or actively considering them insignificant. Well, actually you are. You understand what I'm saying. I'm glad you've understood. Because I don't feel the need. I know it's important. I'll do it one day. I'll do it one day. I'll do it one day. Now you understand what I'm saying. We don't think it's important. If there's somebody we know we're getting benefit from, somebody who we don't want to upset, you're going to be trying to seek forgiveness the next day. Right? Most of us would do that. You know, I don't want to upset that person. I have so much respect for them. I can't upset that person. So where does Allah figure in all of this? Which category is Allah in? We do the sins. We distance ourselves from Allah, but we don't think it's important to seek forgiveness straight away. Can you see when you look at this as a comparison to others, is Allah insignificant? Is Allah lowly in our sight that we can't bother? We sin in, you know, we first aggress against Him first, thinking that, you know, He doesn't know, He doesn't see. And then on top of that, we're not willing to even seek forgiveness as though it's not important. Well, I'll do it one day. So that's why you can understand from all of this, the philosophy of this, that this is important to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need that. Now this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I told you Allah is the easiest one to please. Not only is He the easiest to please, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely generous. So not only is like, okay, I like you to seek forgiveness from me, but Allah is so generous and He gets so happy when somebody seeks forgiveness. You've transgressed against Him, but as soon as you seek forgiveness genuinely, sincerely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just starts showering you with blessings. Now, do you know what? I mean, this is not just said like He showers you with blessings. Allah in the Quran tells us the philosophy of forgiveness, of tawbah and repentance. I'm going to give you 11 verses of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about tawbah and the return to Him. And what He wants to give you because of that. As I said, we need to do it anyway because we're supposed to value Allah. As believers, we're supposed to value Allah. And we want to be close to Him. We don't want to be distant from Him. So we have to do it anyway. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, I know you've committed a sin. You've indulged yourself. And you've done excess. Now you've sought forgiveness. This is what I'm going to give you, all these bonuses. Now don't get so excited that, hey, this is a really good way. Let me do a few sins, seek forgiveness, and I'll get all of these things. Right? Because, you know, there are really a lot of offers. You know, I'll give you, there's, Allah is giving you bonus after bonus after bonus. But there's an easier way to get these bonuses. Those same things have been promised for people to do good. And the problem is that if you do sin and you never make tawbah, then you're going to be in big trouble. So it's not the way. Okay. But we have sinned. So now, let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. First, number one. Anybody who seeks, who comes back to Allah, who returns to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes the means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Allah begins to love that person. And I'm not just claiming this. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who frequently come back to Him. Because we make mistakes, so we constantly come back. He's telling you, one who abundantly comes back to you. We know you're going to do it over and over again. We know you're going to make the mistake again. A human, when he knows you're going to make a mistake again, he's like, I've forgiven you so many times. How many more times are you going to forgive you? This time, I'm not going to forgive you. Allah doesn't say that. He says, I'm not going to. He never says, I'm not going to forgive you. Never. Not even to teach you a lesson. But Allah says, Allah loves those who frequently make tawbah. Why would you have to frequently make tawbah? Well, it includes those who frequently sin as well. Allah loves them as well. As long as they make sincere tawbah, and Allah loves those who like to keep clean. And that's very relevant, because cleanliness from sin is an internal cleanliness, not just outward cleanliness. Number two, when you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tawbah, it is, Allah says, it is the means of success. You'll be successful. How? I'll tell you. Allah says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Return to Allah, all of you, O believers, so perhaps you can be successful. Now, the word used for in Arabic is tuflihun, from aflaha, falah. You got masjid falah. Right? You know, falah, the concept of falah means success. There's quite a few words in Arabic for falah, for success. One is al-fawz, to succeed, to win. Another one is najah, najaha fil imtihan, that he became successful in his exam, you know. That's another word. Could have said that. La'allakum tanjahoon, right? Tafuzoon, but he said tuflihoon. Because falah is a special type of winning. It's a special type of victory. It's that victory which, after which there's no failure. You know, if you win something, you win a race, you win a competition, how long do you remain excited for? Maybe a few days, maybe if it's a big one, the Olympics, maybe a few months. But the next Olympic comes, you better compete again. Right? It's going to be another competition. That's the way of this world. Everything diminishes in this world eventually. So Allah is saying that success we're talking about is the one after which there's no failure, the one after which the excitement of it does not go down, the closeness after which there's no distance. That is what Allah is saying. That's why قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. There's a whole surah, Surah Al-Mu'minun, begins with all the characteristics of the true believers who will attain falah. So Allah will give you success. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, by that, use that as a means to accept many of your deeds. Otherwise, maybe your deeds are not being accepted, some of them, because of sins that we commit. There may be some of the worst sins. If you're doing a sin and you know you're doing a sin, it's better than when you're doing a sin you no longer, that you don't think it's a sin. Well, there's some sins that we've forgotten about. So that's really sad, unless we make dua that Allah, all of those sins that we've forgotten about as well, forgive me for those. Otherwise, if we're specifically saying, forgive me for this sin, this sin, this sin, and we're not remembering those, we could be in trouble, unless Allah just forgives us because He knows that we are tawwabin. Number two, the worst of the sins, and I've been thinking of this for a while, are those sins which have become part of our life and we no longer think they're sins for some reason or the other. By being lax, by being relaxed, by being a bit more liberal about it, by just saying it's okay, you know, those kind of. That's where I'm scared about. Because those that we do and we know, we can seek forgiveness, we feel guilty. But where you've, the worst are those you've justified. from some maybe haphazard fatwa from somewhere or something else. Allah forgive us. Allah give us insight and knowledge and the ability to practice. So sometimes we could be doing sins and we're doing good deeds as well. We just hope Allah accepts us. We just hope Allah accepts us. So if you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you've done sins, you've made tawbah and repented, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you acceptance of your other deeds as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا.
Those who make tawbah and who start doing good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fully relent to them and He will accept their repentance.
Allah. And that was a lecture by Mufti Yusuf Mangera. And it's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love to forgive us. And as the Mufti Sahib was saying, that when you turn to Almighty Allah for forgiveness, and you make it that firm intention that you are not going to go back to that sin, Allah Ta'ala will open doors and avenues for you where you could not imagine. We come to the end of our show, and we'll leave you with the balance or the rest of the lecture we played out until 11 a.m. inshallah. But let me give you the rundown of the programs that are to follow. From 11 to 12 will be the Fiqh program with Maulana Zaid Khan and Mufti Saab. Then from 12 to 1 will be the news hour with the brother Alpha Sinkosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 past 1 to 1:30 will be the Surah Ahraf, the Tafsir of Surah Ahraf, verses 147. And then 1:30 to 2 will be the repeat of Surah Baqarah. 2 to 3 will be lunch break with brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. Then 4 to 5 will be the Urdu lecture by Qari Hanif Multani. 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of the seer you're going to hear at 1 to 1:30. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Dawood Sidak. 8 to 9 will be the Olive Tree with myself. And then the programs will follow there. After 9 to 10 will be Qalb-e Salim with Maulana Salim Kareem. 10 to 11 will be the Qasida Burda Sharif. I think it's a lecture. I'm not sure who's the speaker though, but it'll be a lecture from 10 to 11. Then from 11 to 12 will be Sheikh Anwar Awlaki al-Shaheed, rahmatullah alayh. So that is your program and your lineup that has to follow. Inshallah, we will leave you with the programs or the lecture by Mufti Yusuf Mangera. Fi amanillah. And don't forget, today, Thursday, read abundant durood and salawat on our beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ahlan wa sahlan marhaba.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
Empowering the Ummah.
Welcome, ya Mustafa. Welcome.